Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. We bring in my dear, dear friend, Rick Perry, who's former energy secretary in the Trump administration, former longtime governor of the great state of Texas. Rick Perry, you are a prince to help us out today. You really, I love you for it.
Oh, happy to do it, no, my friend. It's always a pleasure to get to visit with you.
Give a hug to the great Anita, please.
I will. We lost our old black lab last Friday, so we're still in a little bit of mourning. This was a great dog. 10 years she had cancer. 7 years she lived with three legs, and just a great and good and never complaining dog. And anyway, she went to heaven on Friday, and we celebrate her life. And Nita's in a little bit of mourning over that, but I will pass on to you.
Oh, I love her. She's a great lady. You know, Judy and I lost. Here we are talking about dogs. Why not? Judy and I lost our longtime dog, the Sealyham Terrier, I guess it was last February, and it was really hard. Wow.
Yep.
We had had her for a dozen years, you know.
They really become like family, and I'm a big believer that dogs go to heaven.
Yeah.
And we'll get to see this dog again someday. But the point is that, you know, people who understand taking care of these animals, and particularly in their later years when they have some challenges, that there's just a real compassionate heart there. My wife literally slept on the couch for the last 6 weeks, taking care of this dog, taking her out 2 or 3, 4 times a night. So anyway, just a reflection of my wife's great heart.
Oh, she's wonderful. You know, when we were all out of office, I mean, Anita used to text me, how am I doing? And, you know, going to church and keeping my faith up. And boy, that's just so wonderful.
She's a lovely lady. Let me tell you, I she's the first girl I ever had a date with. We dated for 16 years. She was kind of a hard sell, frankly. And then we finally got married after 16 years. So we've been together either dating or married for, I think, 56 years now. So since 1966, I got it right off the bat. So anyway, she's a lovely lady. I love her to death.
You know, my saintly wife, Judy, we're married 35 years this past summer, but I got to tell you, it's a similar story, because in the mid-80s, I kept proposing to her, and she wouldn't hit the bid. It wasn't 16 years, but it was 5 or 6 times, and she would not
hit
the
get
bid.
That.
God, Lord.
Oh, well, that made you a better person.
I think so.
You know, I sold Bible books the summer of 1969 in a little town called Festus, Missouri, and it's where I really learned rejection. I mean, literally, you're going up to these houses, knocking on the door and saying, hey, I'm here to talk to you about the church, and I got these books I'd like you to look at. And at 8 o'clock in the morning, there's not a lot of people really interested in letting you in their house to talk about these Bible books. So, you know, you're kind of like, all right, well, the next house is going to let me in. But anyway, it prepared me well for the profession that I subsequently ended up in, and asking people for their vote.
Rick Perry, you have been such an outstanding public servant for all these years. What, you were the governor? Were you 4 times governor?
14 years, so, you know, 3.5
times.
And I was the agriculture commissioner from 1991 through 98, and then lieutenant governor for a 2-year period of time, until George W. Bush went to Washington as elevated up and took a half of a term there. So I have been blessed, and, you know, watching the state of Texas become this just juggernaut economically, and so much of it is, by God's gift of these natural resources that we have, these fossil fuels. And which is, you know, America has been given this great gift, and that's these resources. It's the innovation. It's the technology. It's the capitalism. I tell people, Larry, the two greatest things that happened to mankind, and I talk about over the arc of history, the two greatest things to help mankind flourish has been capitalism and fossil fuels. Think about that. How, I mean, and I would argue, I would debate, which I'm not very good at, as you know, but I would debate that with anyone that capitalism and fossil fuels have so changed the world so that people's lives are better. You know, we had these arguments today about these people that they worship at the altar of the climate and this woke environmentalism. And you got to have a really black heart to be in that camp, in my opinion, because basically what you're saying is we want to do away with fossil fuels. We want people to quit using fossil fuels. And reality is, if you get rid of fossil fuels, if you go net zero by 2050, you're saying to billions of people around the world, particularly on the continent of Africa and in India, sorry, you're just going to die. Your children are never going to have access to a sonogram or a incubator. You're not going to have the power to light your house. You're going to have to burn wood or dung. And what a cold-hearted message to people around the world. And I'm doing it based on a myth. It drives me out the wall. I tell you, Larry, it's that's one of the reasons that I'm such a proponent of fossil fuels, developing fossil fuels, and this administration and their war against fossil fuel. Not only is it just destroying some people's lives today economically, but we're seeing their policies put our country in jeopardy from a national defense standpoint. Well, think about this latest withdrawal from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. I made a withdrawal while I was the Secretary of Energy, but I didn't do it for a political stunt. I did it because of Hurricane Harvey. And that's why that Strategic Petroleum Reserve is there, is in case we have a national or a natural disaster, of which you've got to have this fuel to take care of people, to make them sorry, I had a dog over here trying to get in a fight with another dog. We have plenty of dogs left, even though we lost one on Friday. But back to the point at hand here is that Strategic Petroleum Reserve is very, very important. And the levels are lower than they've been since 1984. Stunning. And it's all been drawn down for political purposes, because this president basically does not want to have high gasoline prices on the eighth day of November.
Right.
That's all he cares about.
Right.
We know that's the fact, because we know his conversations that he had with OPEC, with the leadership in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Basically said, hey guys, why don't y'all wait until after the election before you do this? And you know, it reminded me, I think it was the Russian president Medvedev, who leaned across and whispered to Obama. He said, hey, you know, or Obama whispered to him. I think it was the other way around. He said, hey, you know, I can't do this favor for you until after the election. But once we get the election, I mean, the duplicity of people like Obama, Biden, and I think they're one and the same, frankly, or at least the mindset and the people that are
same mentality.
Advising them.
Same mentality.
So it's really sad, Larry, that the legacy media They see this. They know what's going on. But they are so beholden to their political positions. You know, we're for this group, and we don't want to admit that this group is wrong or done bad or what have you. And I think one of the great challenges that we have as a country is that our media has quit being just reporters of the truth, reporters of the news, and they're not reporting things that are important to protect a particular philosophical political position. Mm. That's really dangerous, in my opinion.
You know, on the point about national defense, and people listening should understand, Energy Secretary has domestic energy responsibilities, but Energy Secretary is also an international position. You travel the world. You know, I had Pompeo on the show on the TV last night, and he basically said the same thing you did, Rick. He looked at it the same way. I mean, you know, you go back to the 70s when we had the Arab oil embargo, which wrecked this country. It was in large part because the United States supported Israel in the war. But that's where SPRO came from. And down through the years, it's had a dual purpose, as you have described, for these emergencies and hurricanes and natural disasters, but also international problems. Could be a war, you know. I mean, cutting 2 million barrels a day, which I think spited Biden, you know, we shouldn't be vulnerable to that. And you and Trump put it so that we weren't vulnerable. We were the dominant player. We were the swing player. Now Biden has given that power over back to our adversaries and our enemies. And you're saying it, and Mike Pompeo said the same thing last night.
Well, the interesting position that America was in, as you used the word dominant, and we were, Europe made some really bad energy policies, economic policies, listening to a teenage girl.
Yes.
And I mean, it's just stunning to me that you've got people who are supposed to be pretty well educated making economic / energy decisions based on a 15, 16, 17 year old young lady standing up and giving a speech. It's stunning to me that that's what they would do.
Yeah.
But what we were doing with American liquefied natural gas, I spent a lot of time in Poland, who, by the way, I think is our greatest friend in the entirety of the European Union. I think they understand, and you look at their history. When you think about, they were under the thumb of the Nazis, and then after World War II, they were under the thumb of Stalin and the communists. They understand what living under terrible regimes, under communism, under Nazism, and to not have freedom. They understand that, and they're kind of like, we're never going to let ourselves get back in that position again. And they see Putin over there with his energy and his energy policy that he uses as a weapon, and they're kind of like, let's sit down and figure out, how do we get American LNG laid in here at our terminals on the Baltic? How do we develop our nuclear power? We want to, you know, small modular reactors, et cetera. And the Poles were really moving in a good direction. We were working on a pipeline connection north and south from Poland down into Ukraine, which would have totally given Ukraine the freedom to have gotten away from that east-west pipeline that the Russians operated, that Gazprom operated through there. So the point is, American policies that were driven by the Trump administration were really good for Europe. They were good for the world. When you think about the Iranians, and this is a whole other subject here, the idea that the Biden administration is playing nice and footsie with Iran again. And again, look at what your eyes are telling you on TV, and the freedoms that are being taken away from these people. I mean, literally killing young girls because they refuse to wear a particular piece of clothing. I mean, why would you support an administration like that at all, a regime like that? I don't get it. And the Trump administration, we had clarity about those types of those countries, whether it, you know, it's stunning to me that every decision on energy that the Biden administration is making is not good for America. And it is empowering other countries that aren't necessarily our friends.
Heck, adversaries and enemies. Iran, Venezuela, for heaven's sakes, and of course Russia. Who's the beneficiary of $100 a barrel? Vladimir Putin wouldn't have invaded anything, Rick, if the oil price were down at 40 or 50. That's what the history shows. When it gets to 100, you know, he gets his war headdress on. I mean, really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way it works. I've never understood the Bidens have no strategic framework of understanding these things. And what you're saying is what Pompeo said last night. Whatever happened to America first? I thought we were supposed to look out for our own interests, you know?
Yeah.
Rick, I got to let you go.
Hey, listen, great to be with you.
You know, you're such a prince. And we all benefit from your experience and wisdom. We all benefit from listening to you.
I want to remind all of your listeners, the 8th of November, particularly if you live in Texas, and particularly if you live in the Midland-Odessa region, at one of the great gifts that we've been given is that fossil fuel. You got to go vote. You got to go vote often. And as the old saying goes,
vote early and often.
what Republican way of voting often is to take your friends.
That's right.
But we've got to win these elections on the 8th of November. Literally the country's future and Texas future. And as goes Texas, goes the United States.
Wow, terrific stuff. Rick Perry, you are a prince.
Love you, brother. Take care of yourself. Tell your bride hi.
God bless. Take care. All right, folks, I'm Larry Kudlow. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.